Welcome to Bounce Back. My name is Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show and today we have Perth-based comedians, deadly comedians, Fabian Woods and Marion Johns. Welcome, guys.
How are you?
Hi.
Thank you for joining me. I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. So we wanted to start, what was your background with comedy? How did your journeys begin? Fabian, going to start with that?
I suppose there was a bit of a bang head start kind of thing. I was a bit of the funny guy in a family, and I think I got told over and over that I was going to waste, you know, sitting in the back drinking with all my brothers, telling these jokes, you know, just sort of going, and you know, they'll all forget it the next day. So yeah, I seen the advert for the National Indigenous Deadly Funny competition, so I thought, you know, while I was drunk still.
Give it a crack.
I was like, yeah, I'll have a go. Signed up. Me and my missus, yeah, we signed up to it. And
what year was that, Fabian?
Oh, that was 18, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Like the first round, I didn't make it past the WA final, but second one, I sort of, yeah, went straight through WA and then won the Nationals. So
that was pretty huge.
Yeah, yeah. I was really surprised myself there, sort of. Had a good drink with myself in the mirror and say, you're number one, you are. No, but it was a good experience and, yeah, real grateful. You know, here I am sitting with you and your awesome new podcast. And
oh, thanks, Fabian.
With Marion. Yeah, exciting times.
I have big loves for you guys. So, Marion, what about yourself? Where did your journey begin?
Well, truth be told, I was going through a bit of a rough patch and I went and saw a psychologist and he told me who my hero is, who I wanted to be like, and I told him drunk Marianne because she's funny, she's got it all together, and so he told me to do more things that drunk Marianne does sober, and so then I went to the Gong Show at the Comedy Lounge and I won that night, and then I was on a roll from there, and then I went to the 2019 Deadly Funnies.
Yeah,
made it to Melbourne, so Fabian won that year.
I was going to say, is that where you both sort of met each other?
Yeah. That's fantastic. Where I met drunk, sober Marion.
I did that thing wholly sober.
And tell us what Deadly Funny Comedy is about then. How does that, what is it?
I don't know. I suppose it's given, you know, the average.
Like Australia's Got Talent.
Yeah.
For comedy, stand-up comedy. Yeah. They do it all around Australia, and then you all end up in Melbourne.
Yeah, so it is a national sort of competition. And
yes.
Yeah. I was watching today your little videos. I was just saying, I thought that was weird.
Yeah.
There's such a big vibe with it. So, yeah, I know, but I just thought for our listeners that are listening and not sure what it is, better tell them a little bit about it. But what does deadly mean to you both? Have you got a...
Like wicked, like awesome.
Yep.
Another word for...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
what follows say?
It's very cool. So I met Fabian after a Raw comedy competition and you were the second runner-up, I think, on that night, weren't you?
Yeah.
And I approached you and I gave you our card, it was NY Events card, and I sort of said, oh, you know, really loved you. We'd like to do some work with you. And then Nicole, who's my business partner, and I were driving up the hill. We get this call from Fabian, and Fabian says, oh, are you Nikki Webster?
Well, I was about 3 or 4 bloody points down there, you know. So I was thinking, I was with all my mates, and I was thinking, oh, man, was that bloody Nikki Webster? I'm going to ring up.
After you mean that was serious? You weren't joking.
I was serious, man. I was sitting there. And I had my third, you know, my fifth or sixth pint. And I think
Nikki Webster gave me a card.
I just got a strawberry kiss.
I loved it because in 2000, Nikki Webster was the opening singer for Sydney Olympics. And that night, I had no idea who she was, but back then, that night, I remember this girl's name so well because I had about 10 people come up to me drunk going,
like her.
Are you Nikki Webster? Are you related to her? And I'm like, who are you talking about? So when Fabian calls Nicole, Nicole's like, what? And I'm heave laughing, driving, going, oh, that's so funny. And Nicole's like, what is it about? And I was seriously wetting myself driving up there.
I've heard this story before and I thought he was joking. But now that I hear it, it's even more funny because he's like, oh, dude, are you Nikki Webster?
It's been 19 years. Where have you been?
So shout out to Nikki Webster. And when I met Marion, it was at our Clean Comedy Competition in Bassendean. And you were great. And I think you ended up being there early and got interviewed for that as well, which was fantastic.
Yeah, I got to give out the prizes to a competition that was happening for the Bassendean town.
Yeah. It was two tickets, I think it was, to...
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was my first intro to you as well, and I just loved you as well. So I've loved you both since I met you.
That's really astonishing because I've known Marion, I've seen her routines a few times. And when you say clean comedy, I go, whoa. Hey.
I can do clean.
It was a challenge for everyone, but wasn't it? But you did. You pulled it off.
Yes. I think I even played the keyboard.
Hey, whoa.
Oh, you did great. You really did. All right. So you've written a couple of books, Marion. Can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
Yes, I've written Mischievous Mackie. It's a rhyming type of book for kids and it has a moral at the end of the story. It's about my children, so Mackie's my son. And then I've written another one, Piper Put Your Pants On. And that's my daughter. She's 3 at the moment and she's still... is not leaving her pants on. But they both rhyme and they both have morals. And Mischievous Mackie comes out around the end of the year. And I think Piper Put Your Pants On comes out next year at the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
So that's exciting.
It's really exciting. I know that you've given us a little bit of a sneak preview before. And you write so beautifully. And it is funny. There's humour in your books as well.
So. Oh, yes. Yeah, so I have to give a shout out to Macaulay and Austin Limited. They picked me up. I mean, I was at the point of going to self-publish, put them out for 3 years straight, and finally someone picked me up. So thanks, Macaulay and Austin.
Oh, that's 3 years is a long time to be.
Sorry, Austin and Macaulay.
It's all right.
Morals, though.
Yes, morals.
My kids, I don't think they have morals. I think they've got morals. That's about it.
Oh, no, the kids don't have morals. The story has a moral.
Oh. And what is the greatest thing about comedy for you guys?
I think it's meeting new people, you know. I come from the Armadale line in bloody Maddington. And I was sitting there, you know, because I was at the Comedy Lounge last week and I was sitting there yarning with all these, you know, mob from... you know, Peppermint Grove and all this kind of stuff. I'd never talked to him, but we had like a good conversation and,
yeah,
you know, that's what brought us together and I think that's the way it should be, you know. Comedy and laughter brings people together.
It does. It does. It makes you feel so uplifted, yeah. Doesn't it? I agree.
Sounds pretty deep, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, very deep.
I love it. It resonated.
I love the togetherness as well. I absolutely loved the Deadly Funnies. Everyone was so, like, they, you know, encouraged everyone and... Mm. Still friends with nearly all of them.
Yeah, kind of like family now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, but I love the rush it gives you. It's like jumping out of a plane or something.
How many people from each state get into Deadly Funny then? Do you guys know or?
WA always has a good showing.
Yeah.
Man, we sold out this year, eh?
Yeah.
It's chock a block. And I feel that we should have more hits over here.
Yeah.
I think over there they have like one or two heats in Melbourne and stuff, but only get like a half a room or something.
Oh, wow.
I think us Noongars are the funniest black fellas.
I think about 15 or so rock up at the grand final.
Grand final. Yeah. And that's hosted at Melbourne Comedy Festival, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, which is huge.
Yes, yeah. It was huge. It was so cool.
Yeah, they get like a winner and a wild card, I suppose, eh?
Yes. I was a wild card.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I'm glad you got in because you do deserve to be there as well. So
many people deserve to be there, but everyone can't get in. It's
Sorry, people. It was exclusive. Me. But it grows you, doesn't it? These experiences that you get just excel you in your confidence and journey, making you a better comic and everything, isn't it?
Bumped into a whole lot of like nationally famous celebrities over there, eh?
Yes.
Who's that Kiwi girl, that short-haired one? Oh, yeah, that's how famous she is.
Well, we met Sam.
Yeah.
Sam Simmons, is it?
Yeah.
We met him. Oh, Sam's pretty famous.
Orange is the new... No, that Indian dude.
This...
I'm sitting there dropping a name. I can't even drop a name.
I know who you're talking about, but I can't pick the name too.
Well, it's okay. I'm terrible with names as well, guys.
That funny guy is Indian, you know. He's on TV, that bloke.
All right. So how did you guys develop your careers in comedy then?
I don't know, just sort of riding the wave, I suppose. Me and Marion only knew, and I suppose, I don't know about you, sis, but just writing new stuff, you know, you sort of, you get it down and you're like, oh, I can't wait to tell everyone this joke, you know, see how it goes, see what kind of reaction it gets, and that sort of motivates yourself kind of thing, you know, as you go. You want to sort of write stuff that's trending.
Yeah.
Some people, you know, that you can relate to, and yeah, sort of something to do while you, well, I can't play footy or basketball anymore, so this is my new, I don't know, golf, I suppose.
I developed my comedy by, was that the question?
Yeah, yeah.
I developed my comedy by just everyday things around me. If I see something and I'll, like just the other day, it was freezing in Albany and everyone's standing like this and I'm like, oh, that, yep, this is the standard stand of Albany, freezing, you know. Got to add that to my Albany show. Yeah.
The little penguin look, you know.
Where they're all huddled over and they're trying to shade themselves from the wind. Freezing in Albany.
Oh, it would be beautiful place, Fart.
Oh yeah, it's beautiful.
And for those people that don't know, Albany is like 6 hours away, and Marion has driven all the way.
Dedication.
I didn't have to. It was an excuse to come.
Oh, we really appreciate it, but it's wicked. Yeah, good to see you. Thank you. It's very cool. Okay, what was the biggest bomb or learning curve that you've had as a comedian so far?
Formal learning curve. I don't even think I said different words in a sentence.
A bomb. Bomb on stage or a learning curve?
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, early in the my sort of stand up career, I did freeze a few times, and took me, you know, it only takes about 2 or 3 seconds, and then you sort of get back on track and
yeah. The crowd, is that just a thought process in your head? It's just
quit looking at me like till I remember.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Yeah. You go off track a bit, you yibby yabber until you get back onto it. That's what I find.
Yeah, and sometimes I've even gone and blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'm back. You know when the ant goes off his bath? Yeah. Yeah. Keep walking on.
Off
there
on
it
a
is.
Tangent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you usually find your way back. You know, the crowd's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they understand if you're just starting or not.
But yep.
Find out when we get to the big crowds, when you get lost and be quiet.
My biggest bomb was for a Raw tryout. Yeah. I think it was this year, at the beginning of the year. Did they have a Raw?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
I was trying out for that, and I had technical stuff. So I had a white screen and a projector. And I'd gone in an hour early to discuss with the dude, this is what I need and I'll do this when I need you to do it. And the whole – I got up there and was doing it, and he didn't do it when I needed him to. And I nearly walked off, but I was like, yo, Jamal, the screen. It was a total bomb, but I think I hid the bomb. Didn't make it through, but I still had fun.
No, that's great. I think it's a good save, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the best moment for you both as performers?
Oh, you'll all say, yeah, winning that contest.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of unbelievable. I didn't think that I sort of had a chance because I was like funny contestants like Marion and a few other hilarious dudes over there. You know, I just thought, I was thinking, I'll just sit back and soak it all up and enjoy it. And sort of when we were down backstage, you could hear the crowd roaring like a coliseum or something.
Yeah,
mate. I was shitting myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there by far was my biggest.
That would have been a huge rush actually hearing that. And yeah.
The nerves going on before that, I think I was third up or second up, and we were the first three waiting, and on the nerves was just, you couldn't stop moving so much. That thing was my best, but everything, these little things, radio interviews, we got treated kind of like celebrities when we went to the Deadly Funnies.
Yeah,
yeah.
All that stuff.
You guys are celebrities, but I mean,
Oh, you are in my head. So.
No, I like I said, I watched your videos today and I was like, oh, my God, just the energy of watching that and just seeing you guys as real people was wicked. Like, you can just feel it and you feel your excitement. And then you get to see snippets of your show on there and it's exciting. It's a buzz. So
Fabian looks chill as just leaning on his mic, you know.
Well, I was about 2 or 3 points down then, so I was shitting myself.
Good nerve management.
Yeah, yeah. But we've sort of coming back to Perth. We've met a lot of new friends around here too, you know, like with you guys and Comedy Lounge is bumping into, what's that, Matt from 94.5?
Yeah.
You know, he's a good laugh and just, yeah, sort of making a new circle of friends is always good. Yeah.
Networking.
Yeah, that's the word.
Oh, no, it is awesome. And who are your biggest influences then?
One is probably an Indigenous comedian named Kevin Caprindry. You may know him.
He was awesome.
He's just been, yeah, huge on me. Awesome. I've only met him about 2 years ago, and straight away just like just guiding you and giving you good advice and all this here, you know. But apart from that, I've just been watching a lot of, I don't know, Kevin Hart and Jerry Seinfeld and all this here, sort of just to keep me, you know. I do a lot of what do you call it when you see something. You know, when you
see stuff?
Like a visual kind of comedian. I'll see something, I'll try and pull the piss out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That is funny.
Yeah, like, it's just like Jerry Seinfeld kind of thing, just seeing and making a joke out of it.
That is good.
My one was Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
And there was another chick too. Ali Wong.
Oh, yeah.
They were my inspirations. They're kind of inappropriate like me.
That's just Wong.
But also I have to give a thanks out to Drunk Marianne. She got me there.
What was it that you liked about Drunk Marianne was different to Sober Marianne? Because I only know you as this amazing comical person.
Well, I'm a lot like, I've reined it in a bit, but when I need to be drunk, Marianne, while I'm sober, I can now without, you know, stressing out. I mean, I used to be drunk and then come home and, oh, my God, what did I do? Oh, God, what has she got me into?
I feel like she didn't give a fuck.
Yes. Yeah, so let's just say there's no, like, police charges anymore. No.
And when Fabian was on Raw, I think it was last year, you did a part about drunk white girls.
Oh, yeah.
And that was me when I was a kid.
Yes. White girl wasted.
Yes, Melbourne Cup white girl wasted. That is supreme to anyone in Australia, I tell you
now. I used to get so drunk. I hope my parents aren't listening. But I was, you know, be 18 and so I remember being so drunk once that I walked into this club and I kept bumping into someone. I kept saying, oh, excuse me. And then I kept bumping into them and saying, oh, excuse me. And I look up and it's a friggin' mirror and I was bumping into them.
Oh,
that's hilarious. You were white gold wasted, honey.
I know, right?
That's whoa, why. She is hot.
That's why your comedy is so resonated with me. I was like, oh, yeah, I've been there. I have to own that shit, right? What is your creative process like? I know you guys have mentioned writing down some stuff and maybe being in the moment with the, you know, if you do get an inspiration, how do you catalogue it? What do you do?
Well, you want the truth?
Yeah.
No, I'll see something and I'll just sort of note it down. But when I sort of get home, I'll have a beer. But I come at it from that angle, try and get something out of that. And then when I'm home from work, I might have a little bit of herbs, you know, a bit of a joint. Come at it from that angle and it all sort of comes out pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'll sort of read it sober and see if that goes all right. So,
yeah,
it's all fun writing. It's fun developing a joke.
Yeah.
But writing shits me because I never used to like homework or do assignments, you know, that sort of. But I know if I write it down, I process it a lot better.
Yeah. I know there is something therapeutic about writing. I've tried, you know, the voice to text
method
as well. And, you read it back, but I don't know, there's something better about actually physically writing something out.
And pen to paper, yeah. Pencil to paper.
I don't know why, but it just works.
Well, for me, I write down the whole, the long-winded, all of it, word for word.
Yeah.
Once I've, and then I'll eventually cut it down. Cut it down to that, because you can't remember, you know, you can't just go up and read all. So I make it down to the bits.
Yeah.
So I don't, it's more just remembering it. But my first ever jokes, which was at the Comedy Lounge and then at the Deadly Funnies, I've been saying them for years. And if you watch my bit on YouTube, it's the one with the skinny legs. I've been saying that to people for years, like, seriously, I've got two different sized bodies. Like, if I walk behind a sign, people would honestly think that a skinny person's going to come out, you know, like. And then it was for me to get up on stage and say that, and who knew I was doing stand-up comedy the whole time.
Why are you laughing at me? Yes.
Where would you both like to go with your comedy? Like, what direction do you want to take this into?
I'd love to travel overseas, I suppose. That'll be the ultimate goal, but at the moment I'm just happy to be, you know, like blackfella famous or Australia famous, you know. I'm just sort of, yeah, it'd be cool just to be noticed around town kind of thing at the moment.
I think you guys definitely will be, so I'm pretty excited about where you guys are going to go.
I want to go to the top.
Yep.
Eventually do, you know, travel the world. When COVID goes. But for the time being, my short-term goals are Fabian and I are doing a tour around WA, and our first one kicks off in November.
November?
Just so you know, Fabian. All right. Yeah. And that's in Kalgoorlie. So that's, I don't know, to become WA famous first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also, within that, I like to push little, you know, messages of, you know, being, everyone has a drunk Marianne, and you don't have to be drunk to be her. I don't know, having confidence in yourself. That's my little message that I like to push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's sort of a Healthway message there. So if Healthway's listening, Marianne would like a sponsorship, please.
My number is. No.
Just block yours when I get on the stage.
No, but it's really good. It is important that to know, and even for young people, that you can be funny and everything without, you know, the aid of, you don't need a confidence giver, do you? You can get it yourself.
I just love how you can use it as a platform to push messages and then put, you know, humour behind it, so it's not, everyone's like, oh, awkward, you know, like.
Yeah.
I like how you can push, you can pretty much say whatever you want on stage for stand-up comedy and it's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get as dark or as light as you want to get.
Yeah, depending on the audience. But yeah.
But it's really good. Do you guys actually, I know that's a bit of an acquired skill, but when you go out, do you look at the audience and sort of read them and then deliver from there? Or how do you guys work that part out?
No.
I've got a year 8, year 9 football carnival, Indigenous one, over at Rotten Asylum there.
Oh, wow.
I watch him up and... Yeah, I've got about a half an hour to do like a Disney version. You know, not a Disney, but PG, yeah, okay, G-rated. Yeah. I went there last year and I did all right, so I've got to try and...
Oh, that's like the clean comedy.
The clean comedy, yes.
That's the only time when I've had to gauge the audience was when we were told clean only and there was no doggy style on stage. So that's when I gauged the audience, all right, no doing doggy style tonight.
Oh, I love it.
What was it at a dome?
Yeah, that was at
Dome. That was at the Dome.
With a hot dog you saw? No.
No.
No, we wrapped all that up, okay? Yep. Like sausage roll style. What is a myth about being a comedian then?
Oh, the one where they go, oh, you're a comedian? Go on then, tell me a joke. And you're like, oh God, what's a joke? Look, I don't just pull it out of a hat. I'm busy.
Yeah, when all the, like, you got uncles that come up to you with real lame jokes, you know, like, oh, tell this one on joke, and they tell you this real crap joke. And I thought, that's pretty funny, uncle. Yeah, I would use that definitely. You know. Try not to be rude, but it was pretty shit. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do see that a lot, actually, where people come up and go, oh, you know, can you give this joke to such and such? Because I think it would be great for them. And I go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so long-winded too, you know. I don't like them jokes when people come up to you and 5 minutes later you're still sitting there, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when's the punchline going to come?
Yeah, your brain's gone off in a tangent.
Yeah, I've got a very short.
Yeah, I think it's when they say, like, have you heard people say, go on, then tell me a joke. Go on, let's say something funny. Can you ever pick anything out?
No.
Neither can I.
Just like real lame kid, like knock, knock kind of joke.
Yeah, I've never been able to pick a joke out when they've said that. I don't think they realise that you actually work on the jokes and it goes in with other jokes and,
Yeah, Nicole and I often say, so in our rooms we say to people, or the audience, this is, you know, we don't want you to heckle. This is our performance. This is rehearsed. This is, you know, this is not people that you get to rag on. Unless they invite it, you know. And if they do, well, that's up to them to manage them. But, yeah, because it does get really tricky, doesn't it, with, yeah.
Oh, we have it. Besides when it's the gong show.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had hecklers.
Yeah.
And I did the gong show specifically to hone in on that and to experience it. And, yeah, it's pretty hard when they heckle, but getting back at them quick is just as fun. I did tell my people in Albany, I go to a Muay Thai club, and I did tell them that I'm going to be doing a show in Albany, and they said, oh, can we heckle? And I said, no, don't. And then I was like, but if you do, I'm quick, so be careful. You know, give us a warning.
Wow. So you do Muay Thai as well?
Yeah, I've only just started that because I've just moved to Albany, so.
Oh, because it's dangerous down there or something. Yeah.
Make new friends.
You better start using your elbows and your knees.
Well, that's great, yeah. It's very, very physical, actually. So
yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm a horse.
Yeah. Way to go, you.
Wouldn't want to heckle you.
No. I do Muay Thai, guys. So.
I don't think I get heckled because I always have two carloads of my mob coming from. You're coming to watch me.
And they're eyeballing them for
you. Yeah. Oh, bloody God knows number plates.
All right. So I've got some fun questions for you guys. If you'd be a character in a book or a TV show, who would it be and why?
Well, I like Eddie Murphy.
I love
Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy's hilarious.
He is.
He's just a crack up, even in the Coming to America.
Oh, yeah.
Hakim.
I choose him and that show.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
I reckon, we'll keep talking about Hakim.
Wait, even, you know, The Golden Child, do you remember that one?
Yeah, yeah.
That was where he got that little boy and he was – yeah, I think he did some martial arts in that. I might be wrong. But it was something like a counsellor or a social worker or something. I don't know what he did. But
even him as Donkey in Shrek is hilarious. Oh,
yeah, look at him.
Yeah, and I love him. He's great. Yeah, what about you, Fabian?
I reckon to live like Jerry Seinfeld would be pretty cool, you know, just going bloody.
Yeah, he sounds laid
down,
back like
just
you.
Laid back, yeah. Go do a bloody show down, you know, go walk down, do a show at a club and eat cereal.
He actually had a Netflix series. I think it was Comedians in Cars. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I watched a few of those.
Oh, I didn't ever get to watch that, no.
It was really good. You know, and they'd have coffee in cool places and
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. He's just great. He's just the way he delivers everything and I don't know, I like him as well. What was the dumbest way you've ever been injured?
Oh.
All right, this would have been about 20 springs ago, I was riding my bike and I was getting swooped by a magpie. And I turned, he was coming back in for a dive and I sort of turned around and I swung my arm at him. My other arm took the handlebar and then I was in midair like Coyote, you know, off Roadrunners, sitting there, oh shit, this is going to hurt. End up skinning myself up and that was probably That was probably it. Bloody magpies.
Magpies are dangerous for people that don't know.
Assholes.
I think it's hilarious. It's like when you walk through a spider web and no one knows what you're going like that for and getting swept by a magpie and everyone's acting crazy. And
I like sitting back and watching like innocent kids. They're going. Yes.
You help can me. Make friends with magpies, but you just feed them meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few friends
there. Good memory. I'm sure they got like a Facebook account with my head on it. You know, like that's that guy
so
there.
I've
never met a friendly magpie. They all hate me, I'm sure.
Just bring meat, okay?
And they're taking my, you know, my son's getting it now, but I'm sure just out of
spite. I know your dad.
Yeah.
I can't really think of one. All I can think of is when, way back when, I was a teenager, but they were doing the torch for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I was lining up along the road and I wanted to make way and I didn't realise there was a copper log behind me.
Where was this?
This was in South Australia. I lived in South Australia at the time.
All right.
And I reversed up and boof, over the copper log. It was so embarrassing. You know when it just feels really embarrassing when you fall over?
And you get up really fast.
Yes.
Quick look.
Did anyone see that?
Oh, have you ever been swept by a magpie then?
Yes, we have. When I lived in Katanning, I've lived in a lot of places. This was only 3 years ago. There's a magpie outside our home and we used to get on the bike and ride, see who would ride past just for fun.
Yeah.
Just to see if it would sweep us, you know, for the adrenaline rush.
See how fast you can run, right?
Yeah, we all talk brave until we get to that bloody tree, don't we?
When I was kids, we used to wear those, you know, those big stack hats.
Yeah.
And we went riding around our block and one of the kids that I was with, his name was Kevin, he got swept and this thing kept hitting his helmet. And so I was like, oh, get home to the dads. And so I rode really fast. And then I get the dad's drive up, you know, like, well, macho, we're going to save this kid. And this kid's got his bike over the top of his head and laying in a ditch, like trying to protect himself from these magpies swooping in on him. So
No amount of muscles and hairstyle can deter you away from magpies.
No.
They'd be good guard dogs, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They make grown men cower.
Big beaks, yeah.
Yes.
What's the worst thing you've ever eaten?
I was tricked in eating a camel before.
Camel?
Yeah.
Not a live one.
No.
Hey, Fabian, bite this leg over here.
How did someone trick you?
I was at a station up, I used to live in Port Hedland.
Yeah.
And there was this pet camel on a station. And I got a bit attached to it.
Oh, no. This is going to break my heart.
This is where it's going.
Oh, no.
This story has its ups and downs. anyways, we were sitting, was a bit hungry. I think the road was closed because the river rose and cut off all supplies.
Yeah.
So one night we sat down to have a bit of mashed potato and meat and steak.
Yeah.
And my uncle would say, oh, how'd that taste? Oh, this is lovely, huh? And then I finish it. What do you think of that steak? Nicely cooked. I said, yeah, that was a beautiful one. Well, that was Peter the camel. No!
You ate Peter!
I ate Peter.
Oh, you poor thing. I would have been traumatised from that too.
Oh, no.
Do you eat meat now then?
Yes. Yes. Make sure I select it with my own eyes.
You watch the slaughter and everything. Yeah, it's not going to be another Peter. Oh, you poor thing. That's actually quite cruel. Were you very old when that happened?
Yeah, no, I was about 18, 19, so I was sort of getting there, you know.
It's still mean, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Had a name and everything.
Yeah. Peter.
This is for Peter.
What about yourself, Mary?
Lump in my throat.
It's called camel. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I don't like olives.
No,
olives.
I don't like olives.
Oh, anchovies.
Either.
The worst thing I've ever eaten is anchovies. Ugh.
Oh, I love olives. But anchovies,
No.
It's almost like you're stuttering, yeah. Olive. Yeah. Olive. Forest camp, olive.
Oh, no. I was watching something today, actually, in America, and I'm going to say it wrong. And they have all these different news reporters saying the mask debate. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
It sounds like they're all saying masturbate.
Masturbate. I didn't pick that up until you said it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well.
Gee, I'm slipping.
Your microphone's starting to go up.
I had a floppy microphone before. Oh. What was one of your favourite toys as a child?
Toys?
Yeah, toys.
As a child.
Not floppy microphones again, maybe.
Oh, well, I had what are some lines that used to form together? Voltron?
Oh yeah, there was Voltron.
Voltron.
Oh. Because that was that the cat? No.
Yeah, and there'll be five different cats. Two will be the legs, two will be the arms.
It was a cartoon as well.
It was a cartoon as well, yeah.
I remember.
It's kind of like He-Man.
Yeah. Yes.
I remember playing with my Barbie a lot, but I was more of a gamer. My dad used to get us all the latest games at that time, and because it was back in the day, it was, you know, hardly anyone had them. We had, you know, the Super Nintendo, the normal Nintendo, the
Mario Duck Hunt.
The gun, yeah. That was my favourite toy.
What was your favourite game then?
Probably the shooting one, the Mario Duck Hunt.
Oh, okay. Mm. I still like that.
Mario the Duck Hunt.
Mario the Duck Hunt. Baby, it's being rude.
Mario only had some good things, but Mario Kart was really fun.
Yes.
I used to drive
the four-player one.
Yeah,
and Golden Eye.
Deer with my
Golden Eye. Yes. Stop it! Yeah. I still play that today.
And what was that fighting one as well?
Street Fighter.
Yes, Street Fighter. That was cool as well.
You must get all of my games.
Yeah, they were fun, but weren't they? If you could time travel, where would you guys go to?
Well, probably forward.
Forward.
Wouldn't want to go back being a black fella.
I know. I was thinking about that too. But if I wasn't black, I would want to go back to the olden days when all the women had to wear the dresses. I just think that's so cool.
They're pretty, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's different fashions are gorgeous.
The dancers in it, they would be pretty cool. Like, yeah. You know, they all had
I think I'd like the olden Greece. Days.
Yeah.
Like Greece days.
If I was the upper, you know, type of safe skin colour.
Oh,
no. I just watch Back to the Future too. Man, I love Marty McFly. I watch that every, I don't know.
Don't you feel like we're in Biff land right now? Because we somehow warped into COVID.
Yeah, Biff Trump, man. Yeah. I swear. Yeah, yeah. It's got to be S and F Biff somewhere.
You know, I've watched that my whole life and I only just connected the Biff Tower to the Trump Towers.
Did you?
Because someone told me.
Yeah, there are a few things that I'm still sort of getting together, you know. I thought I had it figured, but something just comes up and surprises.
I'm pretty disappointed we don't have the blow up, you know, when you get wet and like
dries you.
Clothes dry.
Yeah.
My kids have started watching the Simpsons series and I cannot believe how many things are in that are actually happening.
I know.
Now.
It's insane.
Freaky. Yep. Yeah. Really freaky. I'm like, when was that show done? And they go, oh, you know, around 10, 20 years ago, Mum.
Something's going on. Yeah. Something's going on.
Whoa, is this person like Notre Dame or what? Very, very cool. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Oh, well, I'll go back to the drunk Marianne thing, hands down.
Yeah.
Also, if you leave your Weet-Bix and you've missed a spot on the table when wiping it down, a bread clip scrapes it off nice and easy.
A bread clip.
That's my clip for the tip for the day.
Oh, the grout picker.
Yeah. It scrapes off food off of the table without leaving any scratches.
That's great. Every mum should know that.
Yes.
I reckon, piece of advice. One old fella told me, he's passed away now, he said, because I was a bit disappointed I never got sort of picked up for AFL or anything. I was pretty hard on myself, and then he just came up to me and look. That's why we have small revision mirrors. You have a little glance in your revision mirror, but you got to stay focused on what's ahead, kind of thing.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Miss Miyagi kind of stuff.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Miyagi.
That's actually beautiful.
Wipe on, wipe off.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Was he your coach or anything?
Because I went to Clontarf Foundation. It's a college for Indigenous kids.
Yeah.
Learned like footy training and self-esteem and all this kind of stuff. And, yeah, he was one of the blokes that was there from the start. And, yeah, sort of a bit of a father figure.
That is really good advice.
Yeah.
That's I'm stealing cool. it.
You'll see me running a rigid mirror at a chair, isn't you?
You'll see it on her T-shirts that she's selling. What's one of your pet peeves?
Pet what?
Pet peeves, something you hate that other people do.
Something that annoys you.
And we've all got them, come on.
Oh, my son just comes up to me randomly – really quietly from behind, and then you'll go, Mum. That's my pet peeve. I cannot, I'm like, Tyler, stop doing that. That's about all.
Oh, like, yeah, because I enjoy watching TV shows every now and then, or something on my phone, and I hate when people come, like, saying, thinking it's important to have a conversation right there and then, you know, like, yeah, cool. You know, just keep them real short. Like, can't you see the sarcasm in my
wicked.
Eyes? Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Are you done? Cool. All right. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. What is a song or a quote that inspires you, and how does it inspire you? Might be a song.
You don't
motivational.
Make them easy, do you?
Oh, you know. I want you to think.
Oh. The Gambler. I use his advice all the time. I never count my money when I'm gambling. You're going to know when to hold them, and you're going to know when to fold them.
No, I've ignored him all my gambling career. I've ignored him.
Thanks, Kenny Rogers.
I don't know. I like watching that the Queen live at Wembley. You know that?
Oh, yeah.
Sort of just as a motivation kind of thing, how he just owns the stage.
That's huge, actually, you know? Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I thought I don't see myself as Freddie or anything.
Oh, I don't know who sings it, but it's Big Girls, You Are Beautiful.
Mika. Is it Mika?
Mika, yes. Yeah. That inspired me to, because I was quite larger than what I am now, and I used to crank that all the time. Like, yeah, yeah, we're beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That's right, he's right. He's fucking right.
So, yeah, shout out to Mika too.
It's funny because music and laughter do raise everyone, don't they, and make people absolutely. Feel really, really good. All right, I'm going to ask you guys some random card questions. Are you guys ready? They might be a bit cheeky.
Let's go. Let's have it.
Bring it on.
Oh, who'd you rather see in diapers? Two nappies.
In diapers?
Mm.
You reckon Clive Palmer with a diaper?
Or Trump. Yeah, I think they'd both look good in a diaper. Yeah. And it'd suit them really well.
All right, who'd you rather go on a roller coaster with?
Roller coaster. Oh.
Someone who's really scared.
Someone who hasn't got a real loud... Like my sister girl sitting across the table from him.
Someone who's scared so I can get enjoyment out of their frightenedness.
Yeah. Hopefully they've got a good grip, you know. So
all right. Who'd you rather have a farting contest with?
Farting?
Farting.
Oh, my dog. Dusty. We've got a golden, what is it, bloody, a bull mastiff. And they're like one of the most flatulent dogs.
Serious?
And it's got to the point when we go, whoa, it'll sit up and look at us and walk out. It'll know that, you know when dogs are silent? No, not this bloke. He lets rip and you know it's going to, you can almost see it and feel the contact at your nose.
Oh, God.
It's like it just pushes all your nose in. Move, I'm coming in.
Truth be told, no one should want to have a fighting contest with me because I'd win hands down. So you bring your dog on.
Oh, no. All right. Who'd you rather receive mouth-to-mouth from? Resuscitation.
Oh.
If Rihanna's singing while she does it.
Ooh. Matthew McConaughey.
Red, red, red.
Okay. Oh, who'd you rather take a bath with?
Well, if Rihanna was singing.
Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, who'd you rather see as a law enforcement officer?
Oh, Sylvester Stallone. Sylvester Stallone is pretty good.
The Monarch. I don't know. Next one.
All right, next one. Who'd you rather stalk?
I think I'm just on repeat my answer.
Well, I wouldn't mind stalking Brad Pitt when he filmed Troy. I think he was very hot in that.
Oh, yeah, he was.
You sack of wine.
All right. You're both nearly married or married, so we won't go that one.
Thank you. I could just picture Georgie outside waiting for me.
All right. Who would you rather have a threesome with?
Ooh. Oh, that doesn't – that really shows sensitivity to our relationship.
Oh, that's better.
I'm going with Brad Pitt.
All my missus likes pink, so I might let her join if she wants to.
Oh, no. All right, so I'm going to ask you one other question. For the youth of today, what would you like to impart to them? As what advice would you give them?
My advice would be that, you know, a $50,000 watch is the same as a $5 watch. It still tells the time. Don't stop caring about what everyone thinks about you, because all that matters is what you think of you. Mm-hmm. That is my big one. Fabian?
I should have went before Miss Miyagi over here. I don't know, just suppose have a go. You know, if you feel that you've got a fire burning inside you and you want to do something,
yeah,
you know, don't sit back, get up and have a crack kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the most scariest thing you guys have ever done then?
I've been skydiving. That was so fun and scary.
Yeah. It is pretty exhilarating.
And getting up on stage in front of that big, the Deadly Funny, that was the biggest audience I've ever done.
Mm. In both situations, did you get that adrenaline? And
it was pretty much the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I watched my missus skydive and she watched me at Melbourne, so I think we both got that. We're scared for each other.
Yeah.
In the same way, yeah, yeah.
I'll did never you get be. To record her as she fell?
I could hear her from about 15,000 feet up there too.
I don't know about yourself, Mary. When I did it, I'm petrified of heights and falling. I broke my arm when I was 4 from falling from a slide. So I'm shaking.
Well done, and you still went skydiving.
Yeah, I try to beat this fear all the time. I never can, but, yeah, I keep trying. I get in the plane and I'm talking to them and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to get into your psyche a little bit, and I'm like, you know, we were going to go through clouds. So I was really excited. I'm like, oh, I wonder what the clouds taste like. And they're like, chicken. And I'm like, I'm vegetarian. But it was amazing. I was so scared that I actually had my eyes closed at first and I wanted to scream, but then something sort of came over me and said, just open your eyes. And I opened my eyes and we were falling through the cloud, and it's the most exhilarating, beautiful experience ever. And
I didn't think I was going to scream. How high did you go? I did 14,000 feet.
Yeah, is that the highest you can do?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever that, yeah.
Yeah, I think
it was. My scream was uncontrollable. There was no shutting me out.
The clouds just opened up.
Yeah, it was.
But that noise, how did you hear yourself screaming over that rushing, you know, that scream that comes from the wind?
Oh, I don't know.
Overwhelmed it.
Yeah. Gosh. But I remember, because they strap you up before you go, and I've got anxiety, so I need to get air into my lungs. And I'm sitting in there trying not to freak out, going. I've never been on a plane before. This is the first time I've ever been on a plane. I still hadn't landed because I jumped out, but I'm trying to get the air in. The straps were restricting me, so I'm trying not to freak out.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite intense, but I had to do it because I paid the money. No.
What made you want to do it, Bob?
I'm crazy. I'm very impulsive, I think.
Yeah.
It was just a dream and I just made a point of doing it.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Catch me doing it.
But it's really good to have bucket list items, isn't it? And yeah.
Yes. So
what is the next bucket list item you guys have got?
Ooh. Well, my last bucket list I ticked off was a nude shoot, a women's nude shoot.
Did you?
So I've got to top that one.
That's amazing.
Oh, Bluff Knoll. I'm climbing Bluff Knoll this weekend. So.
Oh, Bluff Knoll's beautiful. I haven't done that one. Tell us more about this nude shoot about you. Was that solo or in one of those?
There's about 30 women there. It's with Crooked. Yes. Crooked Images. They organise it every few months and a friend got me to go along and most exhilarating thing ever. We did it near Yanchep in the water.
Oh, how beautiful.
And once you've got your clothes off, everyone, if you were the last one to take your clothes off, you felt like an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, once everyone was naked, it was like you weren't naked. It was just crazy. Yeah. Everyone was walking around like they were fully clothed. Yeah, it was insane.
Oh, that's beautiful. I have heard.
Very empowering. Yeah,
it would be. I have heard of them before and I didn't realise they do them every couple of months. So,
yeah well I think they get bugged too.
Every couple of months.
I'm pretty sure. And then the people who do go do their own nudies down at the nude boot beach.
Wow.
Because they're so loving it.
Yeah. That's amazing because it is – you're so vulnerable, aren't you? And then – but it's just bearing your whole self and
– Yeah, I don't even finish that sentence.
Oh, yes! Bearing your whole self.
But is it a collection of women and men? Like
Only women. So
– Yeah.
This is a – like they're heavy on feminine, right?
Energy, yeah.
But the women there – like I tell people who I try to make come with me the next time, like some women have had their breasts cut off and, you know, they've been through traumatic operations and it's just an amazing way to feel liberated and empowered.
Yeah, definitely. All right, you might have to invite me in the next time. I'd be very scared. I've never done skinny dipping, so you getting in water, I'd classify that as skimming dipping. Okay, so if people wanted to find you guys on social medias, where can they find you?
Well, we've both got pages, eh?
Facebook. It's just page. Our names, yeah. Fabian Woods and Marianne Johns Comedy.
Yep.
I've got Instagram as well. I've just started finding out about that. That's how old I am at the moment, you know. I'm not.
You ought to ask your kids, Fabian.
Yeah, yeah.
Tap into that resource, okay?
Yeah, because I've been making a few videos with my son. He's pretty savvy with all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We did a video today when we was at the shops.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so check it out. I grew up on bloody
– Yeah, I've been watching a few of your videos.
Yeah, Full Frontal. You know, remember that show, Fast Forward?
That was wicked fast forward.
Yeah, I got all the bloody humour stuck in me, so I want to get it out.
He's doing dad jokes at the moment.
Yeah.
And they are funny. I've been watching them too.
Yeah, so anyone got dad jokes, inbox me.
Send them your way. You will take them on board.
Yeah, I will.
All right, so they can find you on social, on Instagram. Are you on Instagram as well, Marion?
I'm just on Facebook at the moment.
Yep. So Marion John's Comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, Marion John's Comedy.
And Fabian Wood?
Fabian Woods.
Okay. All right, so I need to ask you guys some more questions. What is the funniest joke you know by heart? It can be someone else's or your own.
I heard one not long ago. It was pretty funny.
Yep.
You might have heard it. It was like, went to the zoo the other day and it only had a dog in it. Thought it was a shih tzu. That was a bit rough.
Well, I want to tell two.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
So one is this one was given to me. I don't know whose joke it is, but I'm going to tell it.
Yeah.
So this guy, he got bitten by a shark. All of his left side was bitten off, but he's all right now. and the second one is, so going back to the flatulence, this husband, he was farting all the time and it was a real problem. It was like, you know, all the time. And his wife said to him, look, if you keep going, you're going to fart out all of your guts. And he's like, whatever. Anyway, so he's asleep in the bed and she's preparing a turkey and stuffing it. And she rips out all the stuffing and she thinks to herself, So she goes in the room and she slides it into his pants and then she goes back to the stuffing. Anyway, she hears brrrr, and then she hears him running to the toilet. Then he comes back out to the kitchen and he goes, oh honey, you know how you told me that I might fart out my guts one day? It's happened, but don't worry, I've stuffed it back up there.
Oh no. Ew. What happened as well after the Melbourne Comedy Festival? Do they offer you a mentorship or how does that progress from there?
I think it was just the platform kind of thing that getting on exposure and all that there was just good enough for me. Like I came back to Perth and NAIDOC week I was like fully booked. Did like the NAIDOC ball and another ball and an opening ceremony and a few other little gigs I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for that Deadly Funny.
Yeah.
And yeah, the ball sort of keep on rolling now.
That's awesome.
Got something good going with Marion. Hopefully she'll be, cranking her.
Yes, that starts in November.
Yeah. So in November, that's your show that you're launching together.
Yes.
Has it got a name?
Cramps Comedy.
Cramps Comedy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll look out for that on your social medias.
Yes.
Be awesome.
Got Kalgoorlie. Here we come.
Be very, very cool. And then from Kalgoorlie, you'll regionally tour and then come to Perth, or is that?
No, Perth isn't included. Sorry. I just thought I'd give some love to the regional towns who don't get to make it to all the weekly, all the events, comedy events in Perth. So I think there's Albany, Esperance, Geraldton, just to name a few.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. All right, so everyone look out for Cramps. All right, so NY Events has comedy coming up at the Stirling Arms, the Kalamunda Hotel, the Charles Hotel, the Kareen is our new venue, and the Parkerville. So look us up on nyevents.com.au. And I think we've just about got shows on every weekend at the moment.
You guys are on fire.
I know.
Stirling Arms, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. We've got to get you guys up, actually.
Yeah, so we'd love to.
Yeah, yep. I can't wait to work with you both again. Next week, we have two comedians coming in, and they're coming into some African comedy with us at the Stirling Arms in October. So thank you guys so much for coming in today. It's been great to see you guys.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks to the listeners. My name's Yvonne Fletcher, and this is Bounce Back, and you're listening in on DRN1. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.